this morning, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 6, 46 to 49. I want to talk about, is he Lord? Is Jesus Lord of your life? That's an important question for us to answer. So Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 46 to 49, you'll see it on the screen as well. And then we'll be going to Matthew 7 right after that. So it says, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds his house right on the ground without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." And then Matthew 7, 21 to 23. These are the only two occasions where we hear these phrases about Lord, Lord. It says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." Father, we just pray your blessing upon your word here this morning, and pray that it would just touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to share with you about that topic, is he Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? Lots of times we profess faith in Christ. We say, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But is he your Lord? Well, this morning I want to share about that. And my inspiration, it actually came from two testimonies in this past month. And one of them was Dennis that got baptized here a few weeks back. And he was sharing with us how the passage of Scripture in Matthew 7, 21, where it says, "Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." And how that verse began to speak to him and got him back on track with God, where he wanted to recommit his life to Christ and get baptized. That was one of the portions of Scripture that kind of helped me with this sermon or testimonies. And then another one was a young girl at camp. And there was a number of girls who kind of worked throughout the camp throughout the summer, young teenagers. And each of them shared a little story of what God was teaching them during this time. And one of them shared from Luke chapter 6, 46, where it says, "Why call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" And she went on to talk about how that impacted her to be more obedient to what God was saying to her. And I must say, I was impressed by those testimonies as they were acknowledging the importance of making Jesus our Lord. You know, sadly, many times, you know, people will profess Christ. They say they believe in God. They believe in Jesus. But they don't get to that place where they make Jesus their Lord. And that's something that's very important. You know, when you look at the definition of a Lord, to make someone their Lord involves giving that person authority and influence over your life. It's making Jesus your Lord, your master, your authority, your influence, your ruler over your life. And so when we say, "Jesus is my Lord," then those are the things that we need to be saying as well, that, well, Jesus is my authority in my life. Jesus is the main influence in my life. Jesus is now my master. Jesus is the one that I serve from this day forward and the authority of my life. So it's really speaking of a serious commitment and submission of one's life to Christ. To make Jesus your Lord is more than just saying, "Oh yes, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus." And so these verses really are kind of a rebuke by Jesus. And it's challenging the person's understanding of the lordship of Christ. And as you read those, it kind of sounds a bit harsh because we kind of consider ourselves, well, isn't this what Christianity really is? Well, I believe in Jesus, and I've made a profession of faith. But he's asking us, is he Lord of our lives? And that's something we need to realize. Just because people say they believe in Jesus doesn't really make them a Christian. And the Bible clearly says that not everyone who professes that they believe will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so that's something that, you know, really should speak to all of us, that not everyone who professes they're a Christian are actually Christians. And that really should cause all of us to examine our Christianity to see if our Christianity is real, because it's more than just believing and it's more than just a profession. Kind of a key takeaway from these verses is that true Christianity involves more than just a profession or a belief in Christ, but that true faith will be demonstrated by making Jesus our Lord through obedience and action. So again, good to ask ourselves and examine ourselves to see, is Jesus Lord of our life? Have we come to that place in our faith in Christ that Jesus Christ is now Lord of our lives? And so it's kind of an examination that we all need to make to see if our profession has gone past, you know, some words that we spoke or some things in our mind that we may have said, and has it got down deep into our hearts and then become expressed out through our lives? Because we need to be more Christians than just in our talk. We also need to be Christians in our walk. So that's something that's very important. You know, the world often complains that Christians are no different than what they are. And that's a sad reality. We do hear that, where people complain, say, why are you talking to me about Jesus when I'm not living my life any different than you are? And that's a really sad statement for us in Christianity, if the world would come to us and say, well, you're living just like me. The only difference is you say you believe in Jesus, and I say that I don't. And so lifestyle is something that's very important and a very strong indicator of our true spirituality. The Apostle Paul speaking about that very thing to the Corinthian church. And you look at the Corinthian church, they were a very active church, and they did a lot of very spiritual things. And you recall that they were into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were flowing in lots of gifts. And yet his rebuke came that, but you guys don't have any love. You don't love anyone. And so you nullify what you've been doing and what you've been saying because you're not practicing love towards one another. And he went on to condemn them on other areas where they weren't really living the Christian life. They kind of thought, you know, that their giftings were good enough and that their giftings were showing that, see, I'm spiritual, I'm good with God. And that's not what God is looking for. He's not looking for our giftings. He's looking for what we actually do and looking at our hearts. 2 Corinthians, Paul went on to say to the Corinthian church, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourself. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. And if not, you fail the test of genuine faith. So it's very important for us to keep a watchful eye on all areas of our faith to see, is Jesus Lord? Sometimes, you know, we make Jesus Lord of some areas of our lives, but Jesus is asking us, is he Lord of all of our life? Not just parts of our life. He wants to be Lord over every area of our life. And so that's what I want to look at quickly here this morning, is Jesus Lord. So first of all, in proclaiming Jesus as Lord, you know, there is that importance of a profession of faith, that you believe in Jesus. Of course, that's important. Of course, that's necessary for our salvation, that we have a desire and an acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, and that he is Lord and Savior of our lives. And you kind of see that implied when the people are saying, but Lord, Lord. Well, that's something that we sometimes forget to do in our profession of faith, is declare that, Lord, you are now going to become the Lord of my life. I'm not just going to say I believe in you, but I'm going to make a choice now to make you Lord of my life. Luke 6:46, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, if I'm not Lord of your life? If you're not doing the things that I'm asking you to do and you keep ignoring them and you keep walking away from those areas where I'm convicting you and speaking to you, don't tell me that I'm your Lord if you're not obeying what I'm telling you to obey. So that's very important for us. But still, we start out this whole part of salvation with a profession. A profession that we declare with our mouth that we have chosen to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the only Savior of the world. And that was like that lady this week at our prayer meeting where she changed her prayers to all of a sudden acknowledging that, yes, it's Jesus, and inviting Jesus into our heart and making that proclamation. And it needs to be Jesus. You can't, well, I believe in these other gods. Well, I believe in this religion. I believe in that religion. Well, there's only one way to God, and that's through our Father. John 3:16, we know that God so loved the world, right? He gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If you're believing in somebody else or you're trying to add on to Jesus, that doesn't work. He's not your Lord. You're not making him Lord. You're just making a profession. You're not making him Lord of your life. So there's more than just believing that is needed as we make those professions of faith in our life. There's more than just expressing words that we believe. We also need to come to that place where we say, Jesus, I'm making you my Lord this day. The Bible says that we need to confess. We need to believe Jesus is our Lord. Again, so very much needed. That's where salvation starts. That's where it all begins. But there's something else that we miss. The book of Romans, we often quote this portion of Scripture. If you openly declare that Jesus is what? Is Lord. Lots of us kind of leave that part out. We just kind of, that Jesus, that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But we miss the part that Jesus is Lord. That's very important for us to recognize. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. And so that confession is very important for all of us. And probably, I would assume everybody in this room has made that profession that Jesus, that you've welcomed Jesus into your life. But if you come to that place to welcome Jesus as your Lord, because that's important, that's very important that you make him Lord. And again, Lord means giving Jesus the authority, the permission to be the influence in your life, to be your master, to be your ruler in your life. You know, we battle with our flesh. We battle with what we want to do, what we think, and we need to be really getting ourselves to a place, God, what would you have me to do? What is your will for my life today? As we wake up in the morning and you pray to God, that's an important thing to say, God, I want you to be Lord of my life today, and what are you wanting to do in my life today? And so that's quite important for us. Another scripture we often quote is Acts 13:31, and we just focus on the believing part. But again, it says in Acts 16:31, believe in what? The Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. So there's that aspect in there of believing that needs to come to that place of recognizing the Lordship of Christ and submitting our lives to the Lordship of Christ. So it's not just about believing, it's about also placing our faith in that desire and commitment to make him Lord of our lives. So submitting ourselves, surrendering ourselves to Jesus Christ, making him Lord of our lives. And, you know, sometimes I think we miss that, you know, in our preaching of salvation, and we focus a lot on the belief, which is true. That's important. You must believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. But sometimes we don't stress too much about that part, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to make him Lord of our lives. And that's a question I believe that Jesus is asking us. And in the day that we are living in and all the things that are happening around the world, there's a lot of good things happening in our world in the midst of all the chaos and tragedies. You know, you read some reports in Iran, for example, where they're talking that there's millions of people coming to Jesus Christ in that Muslim country where they support terrorism and all those things. And yet many of the people are changing the ways and they're coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Who's your Lord? And I think that God is asking that of us today. And our profession of our belief in Jesus, he's asking us, is he Lord? Am I Lord of your life? Is there a commitment and a surrender of your life to Jesus? Is your experience in Jesus just a belief? Or is it something where he is really your Lord and you've submitted yourself to him? Something to be thinking about as we read these passages of Scripture of Lord, Lord. And then secondly, in proclaiming Jesus as Lord, there's the importance of obedience. Now, it's not the works that save you, so please understand that. We're not saying that. But works are supposed to demonstrate that your life has changed and is beyond just words or just a profession, that your life needs to prove it. Your life needs to show it. John the Baptist talked about repentance. Show proof of your repentance. Don't just say, oh, I repent. Show proof of that repentance, a turning from your sin. And so if a person has really made a true profession of faith, it's going to be shown by their lives. And again, the key takeaway from these passages in Luke and Matthew that Jesus is Lord is that true faith is going to be demonstrated through obedience and action and not just words. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? So when we're responding to that question, is Jesus Lord of my life? That's what Jesus wants to know. He's not asking us, do you believe in me? He's asking, is he Lord in our lives? So he's wanting that to stress that importance of these people and these passages of Scripture about the importance of a changed life. And, you know, sometimes as Christians, we judge spirituality by, you know, what we see a person express. And so, you know, we can come to church on Sunday and we can be our Sunday best and we can say all the right words. We can lift up our hands and we can praise the Lord. We can speak in tongues and we can do all kinds of things that make us look very spiritual. But the Lord is coming to us. And he says, but am I Lord? I know that you can do these things, but am I Lord of your life? So he's not impressed by our spiritual gifts as much as our behavior and our obedience that honors him. You know, Jesus mentioned some pretty awesome spiritual gifts here that would impress any believer, like prophecy, being able to prophesy, or casting out demons. That's a pretty big one there. Performing miracles. But what Jesus was looking for here was, are you obedient to him? Are you obedient to my word? Because that's a true sign of spirituality and lordship. You might have noticed if you do any Google or you do go on YouTube or any of those kinds of things that or read the news that, you know, there's been a lot of believers and pastors getting exposed for their bad behavior these days. And the reason for that, first of all, is that judgment starts at the house of God. And I believe that God is doing that. He's starting to put his finger on a lot of things that the church is doing that has been doing wrong, where there's been improper behavior, where pastors or people that are call themselves Christians are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And sometimes they believe the lie, well, since I can still operate in spiritual gifts, things must be okay. And again, the Lord's not looking for your spiritual gift. He's looking for your obedience and whether you're true, your heart is truly to him. And so that's something that's important for us to recognize that as well. Making Jesus Lord of your lives means we will take our sin seriously. that we'll confess our sin, we'll repent of our sin, anything that God reveals to us. And sometimes we do things in life that aren't sinful, but they are sin to God because God told us not to do them. Even though in the Bible it says, well, this isn't sin, but if God tells you to give up something and you don't do it, then it's sin because you weren't listening to him. And so we need to be listening to what the Lord would say to us, choosing to obey him. Jesus, he made that very clear to us in the book of John. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. So what the Lord is interested to know in our profession of belief in Jesus is, are you going to obey me? That's what's important. That's kind of the proof of the pudding of whether or not your profession is really a true profession or not. Are you willing to obey what the Lord is saying to you? So lordship is more than talk. It's more than our spiritual giftings, but it involves obedience both to God and to his word. Another passage that makes that clear comes from the Old Testament, where King Saul was told to do something. He was told to completely defeat his enemies. He was not to take any spoils. It was to be to the Lord. That's all to the Lord, all the spoils. But what he did do, he captured the kings, kept them as a prize. He kept the best of the animals. When Samuel comes along, he was trying to hide his mistake and his sin by, I'm going to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Well, God already told him the sacrifice that he wanted was, I want you to destroy this complete army. There's nothing to be left. There's no bounty, no nothing. Everything was to be totally destroyed. And he failed to do that. And so Samuel the prophet came to him. He said, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offering, your spiritual pedigrees and the spiritual things that you want to do here that you think makes you spiritual, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering of the fat of rams. So when you're looking at lordship, it's about obedience. It's about submission to our Lord. So obedience, submitting ourselves to the lordship of Christ, becoming obedient to him, that's what God's looking for. Obedience to him, obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit, obedience to the word of God, God's revealed word to us. Otherwise, the Bible says you're building a foundation that's not going to last. You're going to be a Christian maybe for a little while, but it's not going to last because you haven't made him your Lord. Luke 6:49. Remember that part of the scripture there about Lord, Lord. It says, but anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse into a heap of rooms. And unfortunately, sometimes that describes a lot of Christians. They start out good. They believe in Jesus, but they don't follow through with committing their lives to obey the Lord. And soon their profession becomes crashing down. It doesn't last because they haven't come to the place to make him Lord of their lives. So are we listening? Are we obeying what the Lord is speaking into our lives? Are we obeying the word? Are we obeying the Bible? If so, we'll be found supporting our profession of belief with action and obedience. Is Jesus your Lord? Is he Lord of your life? It's going to be shown by your obedience, not just your profession. Then thirdly and lastly in our profession of lordship, there's the importance of the will of God and doing the will of God. Again, Matthew 7:21, Lord, Lord, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. So, in making Jesus the Lord of your life, it involves doing the will of God. Now, that's not all easy, and we all battle with our own desires, temptations, our own wants, and the pressures of the world that we live in, all the things that happen in life. But is he Lord of our lives? And if he is, we will be found doing the will of God. So in being a true believer, one will really try to do the will of God. That's become important. Their profession is good, but part of that profession needs to be a willingness to do the will of God over our own will. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. That's not always easy. And I think we need to be praying that a whole lot more, that God's will be done in our lives. And Jesus himself, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was about to face his crucifixion, he knew what was coming. The rest of the disciples didn't. They fell asleep. They couldn't stay awake. But Jesus was weeping and crying out to God. And Matthew 26, 39 says, Jesus went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine." That's a battle we all face. Our will against God's will. And if we're really honest, a lot of times we submit ourselves to our own will over God's will because we like that option better. But doing the will of God is important for us. That's what God is looking for in our lives. And as we pray, that helps us to receive and understand what God's will is for us. Jesus himself, as he prayed to the Father, talked about, "I want to do your will." And as you read throughout the Gospels, you'll see that often where Jesus is saying, "I am here to do the will of my Father who sent me." That's what we are all called to do. We are called to do the will of God that has been revealed to us. And even in the Lord's Prayer, as the disciples asked, "Lord, how do we pray?" Well, he said, "May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Very important to pray that. Thy will be done. I think we'd save ourselves a whole lot of hardship and heartache if we would start to pray that a little bit more and say, "God, not my will, your will be done." Because there's some things that we really want to do because we really like to do them. That's why we sin, because I enjoyed the sin. And we need to kind of pray, "But Lord, not my will. I'm going to submit myself to your will. Whatever it takes, God." So it's important in a profession of faith in the Lordship of Christ to commit ourselves to doing the will of God, because letting the will of God become a priority in our lives. And see, that's really is basic Christianity. But again, sometimes we don't always talk about that. We assume that people would simply recognize that aspect of making him Lord, of coming to that place where we're submitting our wills now to God's will. Now, the Apostle Paul, he chimes in on this truth of encouraging believers to do the will of God and to be careful to, you know, that our priorities don't get out of hand, because sometimes they do. If we're honest, that happens to all of us. And so he talks about using wisdom and doing those things that we know that God wants us to do. And that needs to be our priority. Ephesians 5, 15 to 18 says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." And you know, as believers, we need to be careful how we live our lives. And we need to be learning to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's direction and leading in our lives. And, you know, as we talk about prayer being a help to us in serving the Lord, so is listening to the Holy Spirit and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is saying, that we might indeed do the will of God. And I can guarantee you that as we choose to make that decision to do the will of God, there will be sacrifices that we'll all need to make. There will be choices that may be difficult. There may be pleasures that we may need to be laid aside, that the will of God might be done in our lives. And, you know, sometimes you always say, oh, it's only sinful things that God wants us to deal with. Sometimes it's just ordinary things of life where God might be saying to you, I don't want you to do that. While to somebody else, he won't be convicting them at all about that because he's speaking to you. He's not speaking to everybody in the same thing. He's going to speak to you about things for you to lay aside that you might serve the Lord Jesus Christ and do his will. So again, the question is, Jesus Lord of your life? And if he is, then it's going to be shown by your obedience to the will of God. So as you read those passages of Scripture, they don't appear in the Scriptures very often. Just two occasions where that address comes like that, about Christians coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, Lord, expecting the Lord to quickly respond to them and pat them on the back to say, oh, yes, I am your Lord. He really wants us to come to him knowing that you are my Lord. You are my Lord. How do we know that? It's going to be by our profession of faith. It's going to be by our obedience in faith. And it's going to be by our obedience in the will of God in our lives. Those things are important. So you need to remember, just because you've said, oh, I believe in Jesus, that doesn't guarantee your salvation. Our profession is definitely 100% needed. But it needs to be more than just words or talk. It needs to be demonstrated by our actions, by our obedience to the will of God. And so the Bible says to examine yourselves. See if you are still in the faith. It's kind of interesting that the Apostle Paul would ask the church that. Make sure you kind of ask God, are you still in the faith? Because, you know, gradually, if we're not careful, we can get a little bit more towards the world, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then soon we're not serving God at all. We need to be careful that you always need to be doing a self-examination. Not pointing your fingers at other people, but pointing the finger back here and say, how am I doing? Is Jesus my Lord? Don't be worried about the person across the aisle or on the other side of the church. As you know, is Jesus their Lord? He's asking you the question, is Jesus your Lord? And maybe you're here today and maybe you've never professed a belief in Christ. Maybe you've never surrendered yourself to the Lordship of Christ. And I'm encouraging you, you know, this is a good time to do that because the Lord is speaking to people. He's drawing people into himself. And there's many people that are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And man, they're coming in with power and authority. And you're kind of stepping back. It's like, wow, like this is happening really quick. These people are growing really, really quick. And as Christians, I don't want some new Christian outshining me. The Bible says, let your light shine. I want to make sure my light shines way better than any new Christian. I'm excited about every new Christian, but I'm looking back to here. This person, I want to be the Christian God has called me to be. I want to shine as Jesus wants me to shine. So take a moment this morning, maybe ask yourself that question. It was shared with you in a testimony a few weeks back. Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? If he is, let's keep pursuing that. Keep pursuing that. And if he's not, then let's correct some things that we know that he's talking to us about. We all know what God is talking to us about. We all know where, you know, the Lord's been maybe just putting his finger on some things in our lives and asking us to, you know, I want you to change in this area. And we keep responding, oh, no, I don't want to change that area. And so we miss out. God does that to help us. God does that to help us stay in that place where he's our Lord, he's our Savior, he's really our God. So I just want to encourage you this morning and just kind of jump on some of those testimonies that you may have heard, whether you're at camp or whether you're here even in your own church. Is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord of your life? And if he is, then there will be a reaction to that. There's going to be proof of that reaction. Just like, you know, as John the Baptist say, let's see proof of your repentance. Let's see proof of the Lordship of Jesus Christ.